Hey everyone, welcome to More Than Mises. Guys, we are going to go back to the UK for number 13. This is The Enemy Within Part 1. So, Abu's here with me tonight.
Howdy.
Whatever. Hi. And I know this is one of the ones that our friend Andres is really big on. So we're going to bring him in for a wrap-up after all the issues. And so, man, let's get into this. It's been a little while since we tackled the UK comics. And
yeah, it's been a little bit.
Yeah, the art though is so good. They're embracing the pre-Sunbow model types still, but more than anything else, this is Simon Furman's first story.
Yeah, very first Simon Furman story in Transformers.
Yeah, Simon Furman, who we know from like all the classic UK stories, Target 2006, is one of my favorite ones, the Time Wars, all that. Simon Furman is a big name in the Transformers comics, not just UK. He's done a lot with the American comics as well over time.
Yeah, this is where it started.
Yeah, and it's a really good story. I have not. This is a story in the American comics. They brought it over the American comics. I'd never read it.
Oh, this one wasn't. No.
Well, this was not. Okay. Well, no. That would explain why I've never read this one. And this is I'm kind of being like Ed in this one, where I'm not reading ahead. I'm reading. Well, as we do the episodes, so this is all kind of a new thing for me. But man, we're gonna start this off with a letter to the editor, how they hope issue number 13 will be a lucky one for them as they start a new story. And, yeah, robot designing spread this issue as well. The Autobot fact file is for my first Transformer Windcharger, which is kind of cool, you know. Windcharger is one of those mini bots this doesn't get a lot of play in a few episodes, but it doesn't get a whole lot of play in the comics or this show.
Yeah, he was my first mini bot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I got him at Sears when Sears used to sell toys in the stores.
Yeah.
there's a nice little spread on the page of the prototype of Insecticons, because you can tell with the red and the yellow, they had some of their oh my gosh, what was the toy line they came from?
Diaclone,
thank you. For some reason, my brain went to Mazinger, and obviously that's not right. So yeah, they're Diaclone coloring with the yellow and the red and the black.
Yeah, at least their chests were definitely the Wardos.
Yeah, that's what they were. So yeah, we have a like a little preview of what's coming next for toys for the UK kids. And Anthony Temple talks about upcoming releases of the Jumpstarters. Jumpstarters sounded so much cooler than they are.
They were fun. What they were.
Yeah, I had Top Spin as a kid. And
yeah.
The British comics made the Jumpstarters a lot cooler by putting them in with the wreckers.
Oh, yeah.
If you got those things to stand up on their feet, which I did, it was a feat of engineering of getting that little thing on the back of their head right.
Oh, yeah, the little balancing.
Yeah.
Or ballast, I guess is what it is. It's a ballast.
It was kind of like that, yeah. And we have Francis Hudson of Reading, Berks. Ask the one question of Man of Iron. I think we're all wondering, how did Mirage end up in Sammy's dream? And man, the editor like goes, he jumps through hoops to try to explain this away. Like it's one of Mirage's powers. That was a weird issue, man. He's you don't know if Sammy's sleeping, if he's awake.
Yeah.
And he's like dreaming about a seeker on the ground by his house. He's in a field and Mirage is talking to him.
Yeah, it's almost like he's a little psychic there or something. Yeah. Like there's some paranormal stuff going on there.
Yeah, it was really weird. It's one of those things where you see that the UK writers, none of the writers really knew what to do with the characters yet. So we'll give him psychic powers. He's gonna show up in his dream.
Well, it's like they're taking the weird like alien abduction thing with, because they're robot aliens, so
yeah,
they're kind of working that in. I mean, he's levitating like he's gonna go out the window and all that. I mean, it was
it was
a classic alien abduction dream.
Yeah, it was
a dream. Like the ones I
Mirage.
Have
Mirage is great. I mean, dude, and Mirage is creeping around in people's backyards and stuff using the psychic powers on little kids. That's that's not okay. So man, I gotta call out Ed. We have Ed in his pencil transformer.
Yeah.
Man, Ed, I knew that you were just giving us an act. Here you are with your pencil transformer. You're always a fan, weren't you?
Ed's real name is Daniel Foote, apparently.
But we go on to Chromobots. This is such a weird comic still.
Yeah. Well, it's not very fast paced. It's really taking its time getting there.
Yeah, we learned
Yeah.
the robot's name is Micros or Mikros.
Yeah.
And
Is he
Dudley's
Greek?
quite, was that?
Is he Greek?
Yeah, exactly. Spelling wise, yeah. He's like, but Dudley's can I do anything for you? Dudley's just asking, he's trying to help. He's like, I need nothing of you. But Dudley's dad has a panic moment and barges into his room. I mean, it's like Dudley's dad was trying to catch him masturbating or something. He's just like he hears noises in there, and Dudley's like,
Yeah.
just me and my comics, Dad. And
Yeah, he doesn't even knock.
he does it. Him and his mustachio itself burst right in.
I say he looks kind of like 70s Stan Lee.
He really kind of does, actually.
Except not as cool.
Excelsior, man. Yeah, he kind of looks like a if Jack Chick drew a cop in the 80s. The mustache and all, it's great. Yeah, so Dudley assures him it's just him and his comics, no biggie. And that was kind of it.
Yeah.
It was pretty quick. I mean, Matt and the Cat goes on longer than this
Yeah.
with
Well,
less
it's the
panels.
same writer, isn't it?
That's true, actually. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
How'd you work?
This is like
And
the
then
advanced one. Oh, see, I think he is designed to look like Stan Lee because he even says, "Nuff said" at the end.
next we get an ad for what every kid wants, and
Oh,
they show
yeah.
the timepieces.
That's what I want. I always wanted my initials on a timepiece.
Yeah, so
And not largely displayed, but very small, you know, easily covered up like at lunchtime.
well, you don't want to get picked on because you have your initials on a timepiece.
Right.
I had a friend in high school actually had a it was really nice. Now looking back at it, his mom got him a pocket watch, you know, like the one that you pull out with his chain on and stuff with his initials in it. I was like, that's kind of ostentatious as a teenager. I thought that, but yeah, in a way, I guess it's kind of cool. My mom got me a signet ring with a gold ring with my initials on it. I wore it for a number of years. I apparently it was kind of soft because it was like 14 or something karat gold and broke more than a few times. I don't know where it's at this point, but you know, I guess that was a thing, man.
Were you
Initial.
stamping your initials in kids' heads? Is that how you broke your ring?
God,
Because they had
that
monogrammed washes.
would have been much better.
Stick with that story.
Yeah, that's how it happened. I was
Yeah.
pounding. Yeah. So,
Oh, I
did
love the Irish currency orders are welcome.
we'll take you mix.
Yeah, that's very big of them.
We'll take your money, man. Man, the issue starts off in a very familiar territory. Starscream is challenging Megatron's leadership.
Oh yeah, Megatron's just screaming at him
Yeah, they're having a domestic issue right now.
with his gold Ray-Bans on.
He is. I was gonna say his head's different from we're used to, but the British color palette has shown up nicely.
Well, and he's got the silver helmet as opposed to the normal black one you see in the comics.
Yeah, and he's I don't know, we're his head's kind of misshapen and weird also.
Oh, it's more like the toy. You can tell they're still like modeling these after the toys.
You're right, actually, it makes more sense looking at the back slip of the head and stuff.
Yeah.
It looks like he got melted in the sun a little. If you took Sunbow Megatron and melted him in the sun a little bit,
Oh yeah.
that's kind of what, and gave him Ray-Bans, I guess. I don't know. But Starscream just wants a vote on leadership. And Rumble, who is blue, by the way? Just putting that out there for everyone. Firib. He remarks, he understands what Starscream's saying, but Skywarp's like, dude, Rumble, not now, dude. Just calm down. Let
Yeah, you
it
want to
happen.
test
Yeah.
Megatron?
Megatron's got a big gun. But yeah, like Megatron shoots a Starscream and sends him away. And, Starscream is really showing the personality of Starscream starting because he kind of smirks at the fact that he's like sowing discord in the Decepticons.
Yeah, everything he said, he knew Megatron was going to shoot it down, but he did it just to undermine Megatron in front of the other Decepticons.
I like when they show Starscream is smart about how he he works things. Megatron, as we assume, you know, is very much about all power, and you know, he leads. What is mentioned in the comics, he leads with his fusion cannon. He knows because he has this fusion cannon, he's in control of the Decepticons. Starscream doesn't have that, so he starts sowing discord among the ranks. Yeah,
you got passive aggressive versus aggressive aggressive here.
Yeah, exactly. Man or the bear?
Well, and then, you know, Megatron knows you got to fight fire with fire, so he sends passive aggressive after passive aggressive by getting Ravage to keep an eye on him.
Well, yeah, he even says, like, Ravage comments, I may not be wise to let him leave. But he Megatron's like, if I had killed Starscream, other Decepticons may have turned on him. Mm-hmm. So he's sending Ravage to find an excuse to kill him, and so he's free of responsibility. He's passing the buck on to Ravage.
Yeah, well, that and see, Megatron knows how to play politics too. He knows the game that Starscream's at. You know what he's up to. So
it goes to show you, whenever you get mad at someone, especially online, take a step back, think about what you're doing, get the upper hand, be smart.
Send in Ravage.
Hey, Ravage, could take care of this for me. But back on the arc, and I feel so good about this because the talking about the comic and the TV show, I've got to remind myself, in the TV show is the Autobot ship.
Yeah.
Or Autobot base.
And it's not named.
Yeah, in the comic, it is the arc. So we are back on the arc. And Braun is holding up a heavy piece of machinery as Mirage is repairing it.
And the art here, it looks like what we're going to get eventually through the Missing Link Transformers. Because it's the toys and poses that they can't actually do.
That'd be really cool. Yeah, exactly. Claw arms. He's got the claw arms. He's just like holding up a piece of machinery. Yeah. And he gets shocked. And he gets pissed off too.
You know, it's totally Mirage's fault, because Mirage is supposed to be fixing this thing, and they said, oh yeah, just fire it up and keep holding on to it. So it's almost like Mirage set him up for like a prank or something.
What a
this
traitor.
Is definitely against OSHA regulations. So
well, if Mirage actually used his psychic abilities and told Braun, I'm screwing with you, it would have been better. But I guess he can only talk to underage kids.
Yeah, he's only messing with the kids with the special levitation powers. He was making stuff levitate. Unless he need Braun to hold this up.
He's just messed with Braun at this point.
Yeah.
Braun is just pissed off. He gets real ornery about being used.
Well, you know, Prowl has to like unplug it. Like, everybody just stands there watching Braun get electrocuted, and Prowl's like, oh, hey, you know, we want
one. Slow down the arc.
Yeah, unplug that. Yeah, and he gets really mad because Bumblebee's trying to encourage him. You know, oh, you'll be back to work in no time. And then he's just glowering to himself like, you know, oh, yeah, you'll see.
He is big mad, and he goes and sits by himself.
Yeah, this already reminds me of Auto Berserk.
It kind of is, actually. Oh, yeah. Except instead of Red Alert, it's Braun.
Yeah, which is much more entertaining. He's not whiny. He's punchy.
God, if Braun went around saying, like, you don't understand me.
Gears wants my job.
You wanted to hurt me. I mean, God, I hate Red Alert. Then we have back to Starscream. He's plotting to attack the humans and bring the Autobots to force the Decepticons into the fray.
Right, because their argument was about whether, you know, to err on the side of caution and just kind of figure out their situation on Earth or just start wrecking stuff. And Megatron wanted to be more cautious, and Starscream's trying to force his hand.
Which, I mean, I totally get that. That makes a lot of sense. If you want to, like, get things going, you don't want to... Megatron, even though he's the aggressor, he wants to be very careful, which is a weird, you know, dichotomous in nature. Starscream's like, no, we're going to do this now, but we're going to do this, you know, in a way that brings the Autobots out so we can, you know, work with it that way. So they kind of have a lot of the same plan, but they go about it in different ways.
Well, and he hasn't got to really feel out like the U.S. military yet.
Yeah.
Like they do that in issue 4, but this is actually taking place between 3 and 4. Like they mentioned Spider-Man earlier.
That's true, actually.
So he hasn't got to do his big test where he walks out in front of the army and is like, yeah, hit me with everything you got, and laughs at him and goes back in.
It doesn't hit quite like the first issue of the Skybound book or second
issue. Oh, no. Although I am seeing shades of this with Starscream and wanting to attack the military base.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But he's doing it for a reason. He's not just it. Where the Skybound book is very frenetic, it's very like there's constantly action going on.
Mm-hmm.
Starscream over here is trying to plot. Like,
yeah, we get a view into their mind more.
Yeah, because it's like the new comic, which I love, is very fast paced. Like I was saying, very frenetic, very. It doesn't give anyone a chance to rest, especially on that Skywarp. But
and Starscream here is not the sociopath that he is in the Skybound book.
Oh yeah, not at all. I want to say they like show him in this as a very smart villain.
Yeah, he's very calculating.
Yes, he's very calculating is a good way to put it. He's thinking a few steps ahead. If I do this, this will happen, and this will happen. Where Megatron's just being very careful about anything he does. So we're really seeing the Starscream from the show, yeah. But as everyone says, you know, if he's given time to plan, Batman could beat anyone. It's Starscream is planning. He's taking his time to figure out what he wants to do and how he wants to go about it. So it's kind of nice.
He's wanting to get the chess pieces moving rather than wait for everyone else to make their moves.
Yeah, he's being an aggressive chess player. Is a good way to put it.
Yeah, he wants to guide the board rather than let the other players guide him.
He wants to put out that that pawn at two spaces in the first round to bring the other pawns and the knights out. Yeah, okay, good way to put it. Yeah. So Ravage is kind of cool though about this. He actually appreciates Starscream's plan because he hears it all.
Yeah,
but his loyalties lie with Megatron, so he's going to report what he found out. Which I kind of like that, you know, having Prowl as a like talking or thinking, you know, robot it helps a lot.
Oh, because, Ravage.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Right, Ravage. Sorry. Yeah. It gives him a lot of character, which we don't usually get.
Yeah. So, and you get a lot more of that in the comics. Cause you know, we never really got to see much personality development of Ravage in the cartoon, but yeah, we get to see Ravage's thoughts.
Yeah, no. You and I both saw the 40th anniversary presentation of the first War episodes this weekend.
Yeah,
and, that there's a one scene where Ravage talks. It's the playback, and you know, it would have been really nice to have this sort of interaction with the show. But I understand voice actors cost money. So,
It was Frank Welker. He was already there.
He was just making growls.
Yeah,
like he does with every Disney property there is, I swear.
Oh yeah, and but I mean, it'd be nice to have had some soliloquies with Ravage, but you know, they're just trying to sell the toys.
Yeah, because the comics weren't trying to sell toys at all. You're right.
Oh yeah, well, they just had a lot more time to get words in.
Yeah, they did.
Or space. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot more time and a lot more ability for the writers to, you know, flex a little bit on this. But Ravage, he's sneaking away, he gets careless, and Starscream spots him. I mean,
yeah, he caught him a reflection.
Yeah, it was something like that. I thought he knocked our rocks. Maybe it was a reflection.
Yeah.
And, he ends up chasing him into the desert where he should have a distinct advantage because he's a jet.
Oh, yeah. And, well, there's no shadows for Ravage to hide in.
Yeah. You know?
So, middle of the day in the desert.
Yeah. Starscream does the whole. I'm an excellent flyer and master tactician, which, you know, they're showing with the character of this.
Yeah.
Ravage, he loses Ravage immediately. Only to have him jump out of the ground and go, surprise, sucker.
Oh, yeah. Well, he tried to talk Ravage into joining him at first, but then Ravage bolted and he's like, oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah. Well, I was really talking about his loyalties to Megatron. Like I said, Ravage is like, you know, it's not a bad plan. I like what you're doing here. The surprise sucker from the ground killed
that him. Was good. He just comes right out of the ground. It's like
surprise,
you know, like a scene from Dune.
It was,
but his aim is terrible.
Yeah, well,
or Starscream's really good at dodging. It's probably Starscream dodging.
Sure, we'll go with that.
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
He fires his missiles, but Starscream's
actually says he evaded the missiles. So yeah,
that's right. He did evade the missiles. He's too good of a flyer though, and evades them both. Ravage runs away until he hits a dead end, and instead of giving in, he leaps to Starscream and shoots and buries him.
He buries him under a big pile of rocks.
I got to give it to Ravage. At least he's like, nah, you know, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down, you know, taking you out with me. But we're treated to a side-by-side of Starscream and Brawn thinking that their actions, they can't come back from their course. I mean, and Brawn's sitting in his room in the dark, like basically like thinking, like, I can't, if I do this, I can't come back. And he decides he's done with the Autobots. I'm out of here.
Yeah, it's like they've put those gears in motion. Both of them feel like they just have got it in motion. They have to go with what's happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, like, and Sideswipe, by the way, Sideswipe's, you know, character model here is really weird. I had to figure out who it was.
It's Gears, isn't it? I mean, it looks like Gears.
Yeah, but yeah. It's actually supposed to be Sideswipe. But he says he's gonna be the one to tell you know, him that brute force is needed and blah blah blah. Braun flips out and body slams Sideswipe and then begins to crush his head.
Yeah, he goes straight for the kill.
He does, man. And you know, considering Braun's supposed to be the strongest Autobot, that's pretty bad. It's like, you know, I'd say Andre the Giant, but Braun's kind of small. Big old strong wiry guy is gonna like crush your head instead of like, you know, trying to talk to him. It's not good.
Yeah. And then he declares all the Autobots are his enemies.
Yep, and leaves.
Yeah.
And it's one of those classic things where, you know, well, you don't appreciate me, I'm out of here. But the thing is, he's really not seeing things clearly. Even like the comic panel is all wibbly wobbly.
Yeah, like it's all like, yeah, it's like he's looking at through a pool.
Yeah, he's underwater. He's not, I think they're trying to say he's not quite right in the head.
Yeah.
We know this.
And he makes his own door out.
He does.
He just Kool-Aid mans right out of the arc.
Oh, yeah. He does. So, yeah, the arc. No wonder the arc is always, you know, beaten up because, you know, have people like this working with you.
He was supposed to be fixing it.
we go into a designer robot section, which has some decent drawings with notable Target Master.
Yeah, there's like some really prophetic designs through all of these. Yeah, Target Master for sure.
I mean, I always enjoy these designs because you know that kids are probably like maybe not even 10 years old doing mm-hmm. drawings. You know how I was there, always terrible at drawing. I'm 100% going to tell you that. I know you're an art student, so I mean, I know you you enjoyed like really, you know, probably working on like, you know, Transformers, but I think you're probably drawing things like that.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. I was awful. But you know, the thing is, there are a lot of kids who really like kind of cut their teeth on this kind of stuff. And I did try to do some things, and I try to make it like when I drew something out, I try to make it so every panel fit some a certain way. Like I mm-hmm. try to make it transformable as opposed to, you know, what they usually did in the show or the comic.
Right. I did the same. In fact, I did a drawing like when I was a kid of a helicopter transformer. And it was very similar to a Fantor here that we see. And Fantor's not bad looking. That would make a pretty decent toy.
They're all like, they're rough. I mean, they're kids though. And they keep trying to like engineer these panels and whatnot.
But you see Fantor's tail? He's got like the G2 styling. He's got his name like graffitied on his tail.
Nice. I'll take a look at that again. I did all my pictures and stuff and did my notes earlier, so I'll go back and look at this. I'll definitely bring that picture up for the YouTube version of this.
Well, and he listed like what all the parts like on the helicopter, like what they turn into on the robot. It's like the arms are the helicopter skids and the tails the feet, and so it's like he really thought it out. Yeah.
I love seeing that kind of stuff.
These are smart kids. They're smart adults now.
Yeah. Rejoin the U.S. Rejoin the action with the U.S. Air Force Base 4 Alpha, where the detected UFO closing fast, and it picks up speed. The last page is a splash page where there's this gorgeous shot of Starscream, and he's laying waste to the base, flying real low. It's really pretty drawing.
Oh, yeah. Well, the inks are always amazing in these comics.
The UK inking is fantastic. The color palette.
And this is John Ridgway, so.
Oh, that mean it is Ridgway still. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense why it's so nice looking. And the colorists for these panels are still great, but this is inking here. And yeah, and that's kind of like you have a whole thing with starts from laying waste, and then we go back to Machine Man.
Oh yeah, good old X-51.
Is there anything good about him?
He's only
Yeah.
in half the comic.
It feels like he's like in two-thirds of the comic. It goes on so long, but
Yeah.
I forgot all about Baron Brimstone and the Sinister Satan Squad.
Oh man, yeah.
That
And
alliteration.
this is more Sinister Satan Squad than Baron Brimstone,
Which
so
is great because Baron Brimstone is terrible.
it's got like 50% less eyebrow.
Well, I mean, that's he's all has all one eyebrow, so I mean, miss 50% less him, I guess.
Right? Yeah, it's all less ginger in this.
Yeah, these great lines are like, I'm thinking borscht, baboons. The alliteration from Baron
Oh
Brimstone is
yeah.
fantastic.
I could almost hear him like Dr. Smith from the original Lost in Space. You
Yeah.
bubble-headed booby. You just hear that inflection.
Gotta get to hear that in my head.
Yeah.
There's Hammer Harrison with gloves composed of diamond hard steel.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? I got steel. They're diamond hard. They can only cut no
Yeah.
more diamond hard steel.
Is that like the same thing Colossus's skin is made out of? I don't know.
I don't know, man. Sure, let's go with that.
Yeah.
But wait, it's Snake Marston, the world-class contortionist.
It's like he has no bones. I
Yeah, it
mean,
really
there's
is.
being a contortionist, and there's this guy who's like a human-shaped octopus.
It's almost like Mr. Fantastic, but with bad writing. Well,
That's less cool. And
yeah, less
Mr.
cool.
Fantastic's not very cool to begin
Yeah, I don't
with.
know. It's kind of hard to say. Yeah, it's like Mr. Fantastic, but with like a different face.
And I like how, Gears Garvin is helping Machine Man, like, protect his vitals and stuff, and all
Yeah.
Machine Man can think about it is like how like dirty Gears Garvin's house is.
He is really a jerk about this.
Yeah, well, at least he didn't say it out loud this time. He's learning to, keep that internal monologue.
Human.
Yeah.
I'm really human. You would never know. Yeah,
And
but
I
yeah.
love how Gears uses like two old wedding rings he bought for
Yeah,
a
it
failed
was given.
relationship.
Yeah. This
To
dude is like he's lived life and he gives him and hammers him down as like gold, foil.
Oh yeah, and I mean, I can't really blame his I guess his ex-fiance for bailing on him because he spent their honeymoon money on a motorcycle. And then he's like, I still got the bike. She's on her third marriage.
We all know someone like that. It's okay.
Yeah.
Get the motorcycle. It's
She
okay.
picked the bear.
Prescient. But man, we are greeted with a robot roundup.
Oh yeah.
And man, I am so happy to see Rock from YNT make a return.
Yeah, he looks like a Cylon that joined G'war.
I was gonna say exactly that. He looks like an extra or like a adversary for a Gwar during a Gwar show.
Oh yeah, it
It's
looked like Cyborg
fantastic.
Destructo had a brother that
Yeah.
had less saws.
Rock Destructo. I don't know. Yeah. He's kind of cool. I like it. It's you can see the guy in the suit kind of thing, but that was something that you didn't see a lot of, back then. So I'm digging it,
Oh
honestly.
yeah, G'war was just forming when
Yeah,
this was going on,
they
so
were a little art collective at this point.
yeah.
Oh boy, but Riki Robot.
Reeky robot. And I tried to find out what this thing looks like. I couldn't find it. Did you find anything on this?
Nothing. It's like they built up this idea of this robot and it never happened.
Yeah. I found an ad like for Reeky technologies for like one of their little computers, but I couldn't find anything on the robots.
It almost feels like they try to get investors into this and they try to build it up like, okay, case in point now for current situations. When you have a jump Kickstarter,
Yeah.
people say this Kickstarter is going to do this, it's going to do this, and 10,000 people give $60,
Yeah.
and it goes on for 2 or 3 years. They're like, we're working on it still. It's going to be great. You'll love it. But by that time, things have moved on and. people are like, yeah, just give me $60 back. I kind of feel that's what happened with Riki Robot.
Yeah.
Like, he was
Well,
lost.
it cost 4,000 pounds, which, I mean, back
Yeah.
then was a lot of money. I
Yeah.
mean,
Well,
that's a lot of money now, but I mean, back then, that was a lot of money.
man, I don't have 4 grand to drop on anything right now.
Yeah.
Back in the early 80s, mid 80s. Oh
Well,
no.
and it's offering stuff that, they're just now getting a handle on.
That's the thing. I think when reading the article about it, it feels like they were trying to, like, they're trying to pull an Elon. We're going to do this and that and the other. And now you have the Cybertruck that doesn't actually go off road at all.
Yeah, it's like they overpromised.
Yeah. So, and then you're going to own the libs with your Cybertruck. But the Riki robot is just, it sounds like a really cool idea, but way ahead of its time. So that's probably what happened there.
It stinks.
Yeah.
The Ricky robot stinks.
Reference to Ed's problems right now, which is why we're
Oh.
doing this edition. Ed, I hope your dog gets better.
Poor
It's,
puppy.
it sounds like a stinky situation over there right now. But man, I know you did a little dig or a little dig, a little dive on Metal Mickey.
Metal Mickey, yes.
I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah, so okay, so we got Metal Mickey here. He was kind of a celebrity back in the day. And I mean, I guess the majority of this article is actually about him, but he was created by a musician and pirate DJ named Johnny Edward, who used to play with David Bowie in the Mannish Boys R&B group. This
Nice.
is before David Bowie changed his name to David Bowie.
Okay.
And so he create
Sorry to interrupt you. What was his name before? I've always known as David Bowie. I realize it wasn't his name, but.
Oh, let me see, what was it? It was,
You can, nonchalantly go on the internet while you
that's
have.
what I'm doing right this second.
Exactly.
David Jones. So he was Davy Jones.
He was Davy Jones.
Yeah.
No wonder you changed to David Bowie. This is a lot cooler.
Davy Jones is already taking, which
He's,
it's
yeah.
funny because there is a monkey's connection here.
Not a daydream believer, though. Okay.
Yes. So he created Metal Mickey, whose catchphrase was boogie, boogie, boogie. And
Yeah.
he voiced the robot through a vocoder and controlled it remotely, which it says here they're real secretive about it, but they found out later he was just remote controlling the robot and speaking through it.
Yeah, they were like trying to say, like, well, there's no one inside of it. I don't know how he does this. So, like, we all kind of figured it out.
Yeah. Well, Metal Mickey made an appearance on infamous child predator Jimmy Savile. That's how you
Jimmy
pronounce it.
Savile.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Savile, his show on Jim'll Fix It.
Oh, no. See, yeah,
It
that was a big thing for it was a very big kids thing. Jimmy Savile worked with a lot of kids. And we found out later, right, more like the last few years, I think he was a creepy child molester.
Yeah, he was a bad dude. In fact, they say it was probably one of the worst cases of it ever.
Yeah.
And he even
Well,
publicly like defended Gary Glitter.
oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, not Gary Glitter. Well, and
Yeah.
the thing
Jimmy
about it,
Savile, not Metal Mickey. Metal Mickey was
Metal
cool.
Mickey's okay. He's fine.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of the Quiet on the Set. Have you watched any of that?
Not yet, but I've been planning
It's
to. I just,
bad. So yeah,
yeah.
it
I
was
like to eat when I watch things, and that's just not something you really want to snack to.
no, I would say
Yeah.
not. I would if you drink, I'd say drink heavily.
Yeah, I might lose weight. Unfortunately, gagging.
There you go. But well,
So,
that's yeah.
yeah. So back to Metal Mickey.
Not Jimmy Savile.
Yes. One was a soulless monster and the other one was a robot. Okay, so anyway, so he got a lot of attention being on Jim'll Fix It. So he got offered his own show. So he got his own series, which ran from 80 to 83, and was produced and directed by Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees.
What?
Yeah.
Actually,
I told you there was a monkey's connection.
I don't know any of you listening were listen to the Monkees at all. We had the Monkees TV show when I was in syndication when I was growing up, And Mickey was actually my favorite. So
he was the funny one. He was the
he was a funny
goofball.
one. Yeah, he was a goofy one. I wasn't a teenage girl, so Davy Jones didn't really do it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Peter was kind of awkward.
I always like Mike. Mike was the cool one. He was funny, like clever funny. And
Yeah,
his mom
he
invented
was like
Whiteout.
dry sense of humor funny. Yeah. Anyways,
Yeah. So
so
I
all of
watched a
these movies
bit
sound
of
awesome.
Metal Mickey's Pilot.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to hear what he sounded like with the vocoder. I was wondering, does he sound like Soundwave or what? He sounded like a Cylon, like from the original Battlestar Galactica.
That's terrible, but
Yeah.
great at the same time.
Right. So Johnny Edwards was actually planning on relaunching Metal Mickey to new audiences when he died in August of 2021.
Oh, that's too bad.
So we never got that Metal Mickey revival.
Nah, I could see them doing something with like more, I guess robotics. Though I could see them trying to do a CG overlay and have someone there trying to like, hey kids, do this now.
Oh yeah, that or he should have done like a guest shot on like Mystery Science Theater or something, because
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
yeah, Metal Mickey would have fit in. And he was big. He was like 5 feet tall. He was a big robot.
Wow. I looked at the
Yeah.
pictures. He looked like he's like 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
He was like he was so he was a he was a Zadalek size.
Yeah. In fact, I think he actually did some appearances with Daleks.
I can see that actually. He was like he was had a show for 3 years, so.
Bet he partied with Tweaky.
Oh, dude,
Beady, beady,
Tweaky, doing
beady.
human lines are a problem.
And
You can
then, you know,
tweet.
they've got this like ad, I guess, for some movie that's not going anywhere. Nobody's gonna watch this thing called The Terminator.
Oh yeah, I mean it's terrible. It's got that guy who like was in
What,
Hercules Goes
Hercules in New
Bananas.
York? Yeah.
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 That
Who's
can't
that
be
guy?
good.
Flash in the pan.
Yeah, I mean, if they get more than one movie out of that, I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, who's
There's not
doing
going to be
that?
a sequel to that one.
No,
And it
no,
certainly
no.
won't be better.
Oh God, no. I mean, it certainly won't have a huge budget and James Cameron directing it.
Yeah.
No. So yeah, oh
James
well.
who? The guy from Piranha 2? What?
The guy who likes to like put like submersibles under in the ocean and stuff in the trench, not the ones who like hire like millionaires to drive fry in the tank or the sub.
He has the submersibles that come back.
Yeah, he's the,
Yeah.
actually he was on record as telling the guy who what was the name of that submersible company that was doing that?
Oh yeah, Ocean Gate,
Yeah, Ocean Gate. Yeah,
Heaven's
he was.
Gate. Oh wait, no, Ocean
Yeah,
Gate.
essentially, he was actually on record by telling the guy at Ocean Gate was like, "Look, that is not gonna survive. You cannot use that submersible. It is not safe." The guy's like,
Yeah.
"No, it's cool. It's cool. I got an Xbox controller and everything. We're fine." Yeah. So
Yeah.
James Cameron actually did try to stop the guy, but yeah. Anyways,
Yeah. Well, it was cool to see like an early view of the Terminator. And I
it
mean, they don't
was, yeah.
really show him as a robot. They just show Arnold in that
The
jacket.
shades. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it was actually the cover of the original Terminator.
Yeah, he's holding his gun with the laser sight.
Yeah, it's holding up like this, and he's got it's in like yellows and reds and stuff. It's I kind of miss very I don't know no, I'd say nonchalant, but very I don't know very. They didn't give away the plot with a movie poster. It was
Yeah.
just a shot of Arnold in sunglasses and a leather jacket holding a
And they
gun on
didn't
the
give
side.
away a lot in this article either. Like they
Yeah.
went out of their way to like not spoil it.
Different times, I think. You didn't have, a billion influencers trying to spoil a plot of a movie like 6 weeks before it came out.
Well,
So,
that or maybe that's all they were told and they played it off
which
like, "Oh, we're keeping a secret because we weren't told any more than this."
which is very possible too. Oh, so thank goodness that we're done with Machine Man. So next thing is Prowl finds a star. It's a little puzzle. I'm glad for Prowl. He's doing great.
Yeah, I didn't do this puzzle.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, that's such a
No.
disappointment. Oh God, it's more Machine Man.
Yes, Machine Man was just hiding behind it.
It doesn't ever end. Machine Man is the star. When you find the star, you get to go on to more Machine
Oh yeah, and I mean,
Man.
well, earlier when they were talking, when Baron Brimstone actually appears and has his like meeting, to try to recruit people. It was the weirdest like Amway recruitment ever, because, you know, they invite everyone, all these thugs, to like recruit them, and the way they try to recruit them is attack them,
yeah,
and then disappear without even giving a phone number.
Aggressive recruiting, and then
right
when the smoke goes up, they're gone.
I mean, yeah, Hammer like punches some dude in the face
with his diamond hard steel gloves,
right? And then, you know, Snake like chokes some guy, and then they just leave. Oh, and of course, Baron Brimstone shoots at their feet
because you know that's what he does.
Yeah,
he's the worst villain.
They're gonna hijack, I guess, shipments of technology so they can mass produce this Solmac microwave weapon that he wears on his back, under his cape.
Oh, it's terrible too, because they so Machine Man has Go-Go Gadget boot skates.
Oh yeah, he's got his Heelys.
He does. He has Heelys. He's whipping in and out of traffic and stuff. But so they're at the Cathedral of St. Gabriella, and it has a solid gold bell. That is the worst. I mean, look, I grew up Episcopalian. I was very Catholic for a long time. I realized the both are very ostentatious, but a golden bell.
Solid gold.
Solid gold bell.
And like you're talking about with your ring, it's too soft to do that. I mean, how many solid gold bells do you see that, I mean, especially that size? It's like a massive church bell. I mean, it would
terrible.
Bend out of shape like quickly and lose its like sound.
Yeah. Not really well thought out.
Yeah.
Just putting that out there. But
I mean, I'm no expert on acoustics, but I mean, even I think that's a bad idea.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, and Pamela has been kidnapped.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
Yes. She goes off to meet one of these thugs that was at the meeting in a dark alley. And then before he can tell her anything about Baron Brimstone, Snake Marston shows up and just kills the guy outright in front of her.
Oh yeah, it was like one of the gangster guys.
Yeah, it's one of the gangster guys. Yeah. Dawson.
Yeah, that's what it was.
They threw him in the creek.
Snake takes care of that.
And then, you know, what, Hammer Harrison punches Pamela in the face and knocks her out.
It's diamond hard gloves.
Yeah, and they take her back to Baron Brimstone for questioning. And I'm like, you know, this is a very, I guess, adventurous insurance agency.
Marston, I had to bring up the comic real quick. Snake Marston's like, you didn't think the Baron would let a non-entity like you interfere with his carefully laid plans. Dude, if Baron Brimstone has carefully laid plans, I'm impressed. Let's be honest. And like, what's her name? Pamela?
Yeah, Pamela.
Yeah, she's like, this is horrible. Must run and get help. But, you know, luckily,
Hammer Harrison.
Hammer Harrison. He's like, you ain't going nowhere, babe. Ouch. I mean, I understand.
He's just looking at her going, she'll live. It's like, you just hit her in the face with a brick, essentially. It's like.
Yeah, she'll live, but Brimstone may want to question her.
She ain't pretty no more.
And, man. X-51 is like watching. He's got like a doohickey attached to his head, and he's like listening in and watching what's going on.
To this master supercomputer in the basement of the insurance building. I'm like, it just seems bizarre that they've got all this high-tech stuff, and, you know, they're doing like Indiana Jones type stuff just out of an insurance agency.
They are, and like he's over there like, well, Baron Brimstone is going to need mass produce the Soul Maker. He's going to need a lot of gold. You know, we had that little mention of gold foil used in X-51's head.
Yeah, to protect his brain.
Oh my God! So here we are with you know, we should have seen that was this one coming.
Yeah, so they went. That's where he went to the church to get the gold bell. And I like how he comments about, you know, they shouldn't have anything this nice if there's hungry people in the world.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, he's not wrong, but it seems like an odd time to, you know, ponder that.
So I just say that Machine Man. I my notes on this. Machine Man arrives, whipping in and out of traffic on his boot skates. Takes a moment to opine about the opulence of a solid gold bell when so many go hungry. And I'd have put on there.
And
I'm not,
his Heelys go up walls too.
they do, and I also put a little comment in there. I'm not saying Catholics, but you know, sorry to our Catholic listeners. I mean, he goes in, he like, that's it. I mean, basically, he's like, with my boot skates, I should be able to get there in no time to
Oh
save
yeah,
Pamela.
and he shows up, and they've apparently recruited two more thugs. They have two nameless guys unhooking the solid gold bell to hook to a helicopter. So that's got to be a really powerful helicopter to carry a solid gold
Solid
bell
gold
that's bigger
bell.
than a man.
Everyone here listening knows that gold is extremely dense and heavy, right?
Just like Machine Man.
In a dense case, yeah. I don't know how heavy it is, but yeah.
Oh, so yeah, he squares off with Snake and Hammer, and we're kind of left hanging there.
Oh, there's a great line though. X-51 bounces up to the tower and announces himself. But the thugs there are like, well, at least it's not Spider-Man or some other super-powered heavy. It's
Yeah,
just,
oh, it's this guy. All right.
oh, we got this. It's fine. The
Yeah.
Machine Man, we're not worried about this guy.
They call him a tinker toy.
They do, which is not really bad at all. That's pretty appropriate.
Yeah, that's kind of an upgrade for X-51.
It is. I mean,
Yeah.
he is like he's like the Kmart version of Inspector Gadget, which is saying a lot.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. So that there, it's over. Thank God.
Oh, yeah. And then we got Matt and the cat.
Which nothing really happens much in the Matt and the Cats. Which nothing ever really happens in Matt and the Cat.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt and Humph are plotting their escape, and the Darkons are plotting to sell him at a slave auction. And
Yeah,
that's.
I actually like the Darkons better than Matt and the Cat.
Yeah, we're
They're
rooting for the
actually
bad
more
guys.
interesting. Yeah, they're the little head guy on the ground that has little arms out of him. It looks like a head of a of a I don't know of a it looks like a head of a Doctor Who villain or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like kind of like Cyberman but flattened.
Yeah, it's like a yeah, like Cyberman mixed with like the ghost from Pac-Man. I don't know. It's
Yeah, kind of.
yeah.
They're more interesting than Matt and the Cat are, so I'm rooting
Oh,
for them.
they look like Max Steel characters.
They do.
Yeah,
Good
it's
catch.
Robo Force.
Oh, I wanted this comic.
Yeah.
Wait, can we just like put in Robo Force and get rid of X-51, please?
Right.
Unfortunately, I know that's not going to happen.
Well, they switch it out after a while, but we've got a long while before we get
It's a
there.
while, yeah. We've
So
taken a break on these British comics, so
we had the Are You a Nutty Inventor contest in this issue.
yeah.
And
So
you had a chance to win the draw and color moving robot book. And
yeah.
you just had to like draw a robot and send it in with your address and name. And I guess they did a drawing and they gave out 100 of these books.
So yeah. Did you do this one?
Yes. Well, not back then, but I did it this week.
Oh,
So,
and yeah, I'll put that up there. And
yeah, so there's my
why does it look like
robot
Carnal
entry.
Sin? It's the
I plead
teeth,
the fifth.
man.
Maybe I was influenced by the opulent gold bell in the church.
There you go. Otis would be proud of you.
Right? I mean, and we've got, Rock looks like a Gwar robot, so.
It all shakes out as Gwar in the end.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to think of Gwar when you listen to him every day.
Yeah, I guess so, man. Anyways, this is honestly the issue of Transformers. I liked a lot. I mostly liked the whole the stuff for the Decepticons, and Bronze just a little like manic.
Yeah, just a little.
Little bit manic, yeah. Yeah, of course he got shocked. It's not his fault. But you know, he's a little, yeah.
Yeah, well, and this, and like I said, we're reflecting back on the first Simon Furman Transformer story ever.
Yeah.
And, he kind of followed suit with what they did in Man of Iron. So.
Yeah, except thankfully there's less Mirage being a creepy guy talking to underage boys in their dreams.
Yeah, so he's only brain damaging Braun. So I mean,
come on, man. It's Braun. Is there much brain to damage?
Not a whole lot. He doesn't have a lot to spare, though. That's his problem.
He's named Braun for a reason. Can we give Braun some freaking hands and not those little clicky clack claws? Come on.
Hey, you know who they look like? Do you remember? Do you ever watch Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends?
Yeah.
Remember Video Man?
Oh God, yeah, dude.
He's like the two-dimensional video villain that would like shoot squares at people. Yeah, that's what his claws always remind me of. They look like Video Man's claws.
He does. Yeah, God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Honestly, but, y'all,
he's a Mysterian to the core. So
he really is. Yeah. Oh yeah, if y'all ever you want to see some like the line art, like I said, is Ridgeway, and it's beautiful. The designs are very toy heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can take the toy and like make it a you know, drawing in a comic, Ridgeway.
Oh yeah, he got fancy with Prowl. Prowl's like head crest or whatever. It got pretty far out there.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly,
he's almost like a Great Mazinger looking helmet.
He kind of is, actually. You're right.
Yeah,
that splash page with Starscream like bombing the base, though, is really nice.
Oh yeah, all the artwork in this is great.
It's fantastic.
And Ridgeway did the colors too.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, so he did it all. He penciled it, inked it, and colored. It just says art by John Ridgeway. So he just,
there you go.
He did it all.
I like it. It seems very watercolor.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. I mean, it could have been for all I know.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's very flowy. You don't see pencil lines or anything like that. So it's very flowy, like a watercolor would be. And it might have been that. I don't know anything about Ridgeway's coloring. He may have preferred it that way. But the coloring in this is fantastic. The inks are beautiful. And the plot, I almost were Starscream and Ravage. If we just have Starscream and Ravage being like, I'm more intelligent. No, I'm more intelligent. No, I'm prettier. No, I'm prettier. Attacking each other, I could go for a full comic of that.
Right? Oh, and going back to the beginning, something we skipped over. Where is it? Okay, well, Anthony Temple from Hasbro, he talked about the Jumpstarter's robot points and the Time Warrior watch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about this.
You know, that was the little watch that had an Autobot symbol, and you'd press on the jaw and it would split open. You'd get it like in the mail order stuff for robot points.
I got it. Before you go further, because I know where you're going with this, I tell you, years ago, I worked for a secondhand toy shop doing inventory and things like that. This came in there at one point. I'm like, why would anyone want this? And I just like, I put it in the case to sell.
Was that the old time toy shop?
Yes. It was called something different at that point, but yes.
What was it called back then? I forgot what it was called.
Star Wars Collectibles.
Oh, Star Wars. Yes. That's when I first ran across him.
Yeah.
I still have the Galvatron that I got from him.
I have many things I got from him.
Yeah.
So anyways, go for it. I'm just.
Oh, so he promised to have more information in the comics at Easter. Mm-hmm. And so I scanned ahead like multiple comics to see, and there's nothing else, at least in these comics, about any of it. It's just like nothing before or after Easter in the comics about the Time Warriors or the robot points that, you know, Anthony Temple promised. So I'm disappointed.
Come on, Anthony. Tony.
And that Time Warrior watch goes for an insane amount of money right now, like on the aftermarket, especially if you have it like working complete in the box.
It's like $1,000.
It was like, huh?
Was it like, how much was it?
I think I saw some that were like $500 or $600.
Yeah, I was gonna say it went up there. I mean,
I think some of them were closer to like 800.
Yeah, it's creepy. Of course, 1,000. I remember that.
Yeah, that's insane. That's a lot for that little digital watch.
It kind of looked like a little Casio, digital watch. It had like the Autobot symbol that would just like open like this.
Yeah, there was nothing fancy, but I guess the trick, what makes it expensive, is that it was kind of cheap. So a lot of them, the mechanism to open it broke, the watch itself gave out, or in some cases, the batteries exploded and like destroyed the watch from the inside.
Oh, no.
So, and kids wore these, the kids that ordered these.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't think a lot of kids, I mean, if you had to choose between like the Omnibots or Reflector or the Time Warrior. Time Warrior's like last on the list.
I got some more robot points. Maybe I can make it to this guy.
It wasn't even as cool as like the Chronoform watches. It turned into scorpions and stuff. You know, it was like,
I had the scorpion one myself. My neighbor had the a little robot guy. I know our your friend Gray, he is a big fan of the Chronoform watches.
Oh, he likes all the little Transformer watches.
Well, they're kind of neat. Like I said, Scorpion, I had that. It had like the legs were like plastic and folded up underneath. It had like a metal like segmented tail. It's cool.
Yeah, that one was probably the most intricate out of them. I've never had any of them, but I'd look at them in the store. Because I remember in Toys R Us, they had those in like a special section that you had to like tell them you wanted it, and they'd pull it out and send it to the register. Like you couldn't like just grab it off the shelf.
My mom actually worked back then. She worked for JCPenney's. She was a hair stylist at JCPenney's. And she would go and shop on the JCPenney catalog. And that was just probably one of the things that was in there. You know,
That's
so
cool.
yeah, it was just like a random thing, like, oh, okay, cool. And I you know, it had the little plastic band that you could snap it into. I had to think of it for a long time. I think past a lot of my Transformers actually had that. But
Nice.
anyways, yeah, pretty cool stuff.
Good deal. So yeah, this was a good start, I think, at least on the Transformer side.
I mean, Iron Giant was a cool story. Don't get me wrong. It was actually pretty dark. But this is Simon Furman's first outing of Transformers, and it's, you know, it's good. I mean, the dialogue with a lot of characters is great. And of
I
course,
mean, we've already got like teasing, what we'll get from Furman later, how he likes to just kill and trash characters.
He's not kind.
We almost had a crushed head, and we've got Ravage buried alive out in the desert. So.
As he deserves. He just had joined up with Starscream. Yeah, so it's kind of nice actually, the looking at this, how Megatron kind of ruled the Decepticons through like tyranny and power, not
Oh,
by
yeah.
smart.
He was following his motto.
Peace through tyranny, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, honestly, that makes a lot of sense. So you and I have talked about a lot how, you know, later on that during the Furman run that he brings in Galvatron meeting Megatron, and Megatron's the crazy one.
Yeah, that's so odd when you think about it, but yeah.
And you know, we're used to with the Sunbow cartoon, Galvatron being the crazy one, and you know, the idea of how Megatron's very calculating. It doesn't work out that way in the UK comics. So I'm really interested in seeing more of these.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil too much because we've got that ahead of us. But that's a different dynamic there.
Really excited for that. Well, cool. Well, I'm gonna cut it here, and we will get on to issue number two very soon.
Yes, and I have a
Ed,
quote.
oh yes, please, by all means.
Oh yeah. They were worth the time we spent building them in these caverns.
The Constructicons built on Earth in the caverns. Very nice.
Yes, that's Megatron from Heavy Metal War.
When he built the Constructicons in the caverns on Earth. They weren't, well, one of the many origins for the Constructicons, but we can go
Right,
into
there's
all
like
of it
what, at
later.
least like three.
Three I know of. Even though the Bible says there's no origin specified, writers gave them an origin. But what do I know? I mean, the cartoon is so concise with this history and this canon. I mean, it can't be anything weird with that. Anyways, thanks everyone for being here, and we'll get back at it. And Ed, I hope your dog feels better, and y'all take it easy. Thanks for being here.
Bye.
Bye. See ya.
Are the Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.